Here we are in the congressional corner with Democratic Representative Antonio Delgado of New York's 19th District. First of all, Congressman, I want to thank you for showing up and for being on the show. It means a great deal to all of us, and we really appreciate it.
Well, it's good to be on the show, Alan. You know, I hold you in high regard.
Hey, that's good. You're one of the few. Okay. What do you think about the ongoing Supreme Court battle? Is there anything Democrats can do to stop Coney Barrett?
Well, I want to start by first, I would just be remiss to not take this chance to honor the great life of Justice Ginsburg, a master jurist, a pioneer in the fight for gender equality. And, you know, one of the moments for me that was so meaningful is I was able to, you know, stand on the steps of the Supreme Court, you know, and pay my respects while she lie in repose. And Edie, you just reflect on the power of one life. That's what I came away from, is understanding that one person can change the world. And she certainly did that, and she led with her heart. She led with love. And that, to me, is so, so critical during these very divisive times. The U.S. Supreme Court, Alan, is the highest court in the land, and it is meant to be a legal institution, not a political one. And I fear that where the court is headed is it's being continually politicized. This is the highest court in the land. It should be a legal institution, not a political one. And surely politics is always in the atmosphere, but you want the highest court to be a neutral arbiter to the extent that it's possible. Now, I want to be clear. The Constitution does not prohibit the decision that is ongoing in terms of the president nominating an appointee or, you know, Supreme Court justice or the Senate deciding, you know, to move forward with a confirmation hearings in a vote. There's nothing that prohibits that action. But I do believe that rushing decisions of this magnitude, and I do want to say rushing is what's happening. So close to an election, I think further will divide our country, and it will politicize our highest court. And that in and of itself is, I think, problematic. But then when you also layer on top of that the stakes, you know, the survival of the Affordable Care Act, the future of marriage equality, the future of women's reproductive health care decisions, Roe v. Wade, right? These are critical, critical issues that are, you know, weighing, you know, on the minds of our country and will potentially be before the court. We know the ACA is currently before the court. And so to me, to rush this kind of decision is problematic. And I think it's important that, you know, at least from my vantage point, you know, I don't have a vote. I'm not in the Senate. So I do believe that that the job of the Senate, though, for those who don't agree with this process, is to continue to advise and stress through the hearings the importance of this decision and have a very, you know, thorough, comprehensive approach to unearth the justices or the nominees' positions. And I think over the course of that process, I think more and more pressure should be put on the other the Senate colleagues to decide if this is, in fact, the best or most prudent way forward.
I want to ask you a question about Joe Biden and his campaign. How's he doing?
I mean, you know, I have to say, I can't tell you how he's doing from the standpoint of how him on a personal level is doing. Particularly because my focus is on what we're doing, you know, and what I'm doing as a member of Congress to help my district get through these critically challenging times. So I, you know, I don't want to sit here and try to assess, you know, how he's doing. I feel like what I've sensed from you know, the way his operation is working and how he's comported himself. What I appreciate is that he at least continues to try to take the high road, and he's trying to speak to the whole country and to do so from a place of compassion. You know, and I think that's so. When you ask how is he doing, I think that's hard for him to do, not because it's not in his character, but because the times are so difficult. And not everybody gets rewarded when you try to unify people. It can be hard. It can weigh on you. It can be burdensome. I think that what I've sensed, though, from him is a commitment to do his best to speak to everybody, to bring people together, to unify the country. And that, to me, we have to heal. We have to heal. And I think he's trying to do that work. And that I see and I appreciate.
His pick of Kamala Harris as the vice president, is that paying dividends? You think it was a smart thing to do?
I mean, I think that, you know, it was his decision. I don't have any issues with the selection. I think it was good to, have somebody on the ticket that can speak to, in the same way he does, speak to the broad-based coalition of people that we're trying to pull in here and do right by. You know, so I have no, yeah, I mean, I think it was good of him, you know, to be able to pick the senator. But now it's about, you know, what his message fundamentally is, right? I mean, it fundamentally comes down to what the themes are moving forward in this campaign and what we're trying to focus on. Because when I'm in my district, when I'm at home, right, that's what I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on how are we getting through COVID-19? Do we have enough testing? Do we have enough PPE? Are our small businesses getting the support they need? Are farmers getting the support they need? Our nurses, our teachers, because this is what matters, right? And this is how we've got to endure. And if we don't focus on this, it's not going anywhere. You know, we're seeing the increase in cases in states all across the country. We got 200,000 lives lost. You know, this, and it's not slowing down. And so we could talk about opening up, you know, our schools and our businesses and, you know, restaurants. You can talk about doing that. But do we have the infrastructure in place to do it smart? Do we have it in place to make sure that we don't have to lock down again because we weren't doing enough testing on the front end? You know, and I was calling for the utilization of the Defense Production Act back in March to make sure we had the testing that we're going to need to do this the right way. We had the PPE we're going to need to do this the right way. And we don't right now. And that's problematic, Alan. That, to me, is where we don't have the focus that we need to have at the national level, particularly the administration. I think it's important that we prioritize this issue in the way that it needs to be prioritized. This is a once-in-a-lifetime, hopefully, pandemic. And we've got to put our heads down and get the plan there, completed. What is it? What are we doing? Where are we going with this? And that is what I think is, I find very, very unfortunate right now.
We've been talking with our friend, Democratic Representative Antonio Delgado of New York's 19th District, in office since January 2019. Congressman, it's been too long. We love having you on the show. Come back again soon, okay?
Thanks. I always love being on, and all the best. Stay safe and stay healthy.
You too.